Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr. Welcome. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr. Welcome to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Today is Monday, February the 15th, 2016, and we're live this evening. And we'd like to welcome our listening audience online and also those who are called in. If you're online and want to call in and want to share your inputs and comments, you can call in at 646-668-2636. And if you're listening online, you also can listen to the rebroadcast of this show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And you can also listen to the archive of our past shows, and also you can listen to this show again and share it with your neighbors and your friends and the other brothers in the church. We have a couple of announcements tonight we're going to talk about. We have a couple of events coming up, and we want to give a shout-out we had a marriage retreat this past weekend for Valentine's weekend. We're going to give a shout-out to Jesus Lives Family Ministries and Pastor George Sharps and his ministry team there. They put together a wonderful, wonderful retreat, and I think it was very helpful for couples, the couples that were there, and it just was encouraging, a time of relaxation, a time of fellowship, time the couples got to spend some time with their spouses, and also we had some real teaching and some real fellowship, and we touched on some issues and some things, and to help the couples to strengthen their marriage as they continue on. We had a wide group of different couples from 1 year to 30 years, and it's a lot of knowledge and a lot of wisdom came out of that, because of all the group that was there, there was 191 years of marriage experience in the room. So yeah, we prayed at everything, that everyone heard something that would help and strengthen and encourage their marriage. So we like again, it was Jesus Lives Family Ministries, and we had a beautiful time, and to thank them very much. Just give them a shout out here on Issues Christian Men's Talk. Also, you can reach out to us by going to our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can link up there, see our post. Also, we have the link to the rebroadcast for this show. And also, we have a lot of men's events coming up in 2016. We're posting them there. And if you're having a men's event at your local church, you're welcome to send it to us. Let us know. And we'll post there, because we have these events all over the country, here locally in Baltimore, and a lot of other events going on. So you never know when a brother might want to come in and fellowship around some godly men. So we encourage you to contact us, let us know there. And also, if you had any topic ideas or subjects you wanted to talk about, or any pastors, elders, men's ministry leaders, if you want to be part of the discussion panel, reach out to us there, and we will contact you and have you come and join us on the panel. Amen. Well, I'm open up with prayer, and then share a scripture, and then we're going to get right into the conversation. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, starting at verse number 26. And the Word of God says, For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised have God chosen ye, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh shall glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorifieth, let him glory in the Lord. Father, we say thank you today. We say thank you, Lord God, for your grace and mercy. We thank you, God, for the shed blood of your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives, God, what you've done in our lives. Father, today we're praying for men today, oh God. We're praying for men's lives, for them as husbands, fathers, and sons, God. We ask that you would strengthen them, encourage them, God. That something tonight be spoken, oh God, that would raise them up, would encourage them, oh God. That would, God, help them, oh God, overcome the struggles and lift the burdens off of their minds, Lord God. Father, we're praying peace today in the families, peace in their mind, Lord God. Father, we're praying for that brother, oh God, who's confused, who's under a lot of pressure today, Lord God. That God, he doesn't know which way to go left or right, God. But we say that, oh God, he will seek your face and for the answer of any struggles he's going through. Continue to strengthen him. Continue to speak to his life, oh God. Send ministering angels, oh God, to watch over him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Couple announcements. We're having our third Man Up event coming up in April. It's going to be held on April the 9th. I ask you to save that date, April the 9th, 2016, here locally in the Baltimore, Maryland area. It's going to be Man Up, Stand as Watchman on the Wall. And it's a coalition of ministries to men. And we have about five churches that have come together in their men's groups, and we're going to come together in a one-day conference. It's going to be from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., and the registration is going to be $25, and lunch is going to be included. And as we get to get the details done and sign the contracts and make the arrangements for a location, we'll be sharing that information soon. We still have a couple more meetings and to do to secure our location, but we have to ask you to watch us on Facebook. Listen to this show every Monday and every Thursday night, and we'll definitely, as soon as we have it, it'll be out there. Amen. Also, I'm going to share this additional information. We have a men's breakfast coming up on Saturday, March the 5th, men's breakfast with the Dasco Ministries in Baltimore, Maryland. The location is going to be 9833 Liberty Road in Randallstown, Maryland, 21133. And we ask you, you bring someone with you, bring your son, your grandson, your nephews, your neighbor's sons, your father, your grandfather, your uncles, and come out and fellowship with the brothers. That's going to be on Saturday, March the 5th, 2016. Also, that's posted on our Facebook page, the Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. You can get that information there, and it's posted there. Amen? Amen. Pastor Watkins, how are you? Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Deacon Farr. I'm well, man. How are you today?
Amen. Good to hear your voice, brother. How was your weekend?
It was blessed, man. It was blessed. I'm glad to hear your voice as well, sir. Always an honor and a privilege to be here on the show.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you taking time on your schedule to join us here every Monday and every Monday, Thursday. Again, if you're listening, write it down on your schedule. We are live every Monday and Thursday. On Mondays, it's 8 p.m. On Thursdays, it is 8:30 p.m. And also, you can listen to the archive of our newly broadcast shows again by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Well, tonight, gentlemen, we're going to talk a little bit about the characteristics of a spiritual man. And we're referencing from the book, A Man of God, by Dr. Charles Stanley. We've been talking about this book. I've been reading this book here. I read it a couple of times, but I've been using it as a devotional, and I've been reading it here and, picking it up here and there in my spare time just for encouragement. But we recommend that book here. It's Man of God by Charles Stanley. And also I wanted to share something that we were sharing earlier in our broadcast about our creed. And what we want to do, we want to put a definition to manhood and what a real man is, because in this culture, manhood is it's becoming fluid, somehow it's becoming redefined, and it's confusing. Even some of us who've been men a while, if we listen to the culture, we're not even sure if we're still men because how they try to define it and redefine it. And then for this next generation of young men, young boys coming up, I think it can be confusing. But us as men of God, as Christian men, we want to set a standard. And we'll be standard bearers to that, of what a man is. And Dr. Stanley, I wrote this, and I want to share this with our audience. That a man is one who understands and accepts the responsibility for the development of his mental, emotional, and spiritual capacity, and demonstrates this by his maturing attitudes and actions in his personal life, his home life, his vocational life, his social life, and his spiritual life. So we want to define what a man is. There's two things about we have to understand that. We understand and accept the responsibility and development And we demonstrate that in how we live in all areas of our life. That's how we really define that. It's accepting and understanding the responsibility and then taking it on and making it part of who we are. So I just really wanted to share that and put that thought into your head so we can define manhood there. Pastor Watkins, what do you think, sir? How does that definition sound to you?
That definition sounds excellent, man. It is important for us to understand that we must accept that responsibility to, as a man, as you said earlier, that the definition of a man is changing. You know, it used to be that if a man was the breadwinner, if he was the one that kept a roof over the house and food on the table, then he was a man. Nowadays, there are women that can do the same thing. Nowadays, there are women that don't need a man to take care of them or to provide for them. They can provide for themselves and, in essence, can take care of a man. But today, we have to make sure that we are using the right definition to explain what manhood is. And that is an excellent definition of a one who takes responsibility, not just for, you know, not just the responsibility for his family, but responsibility for his actions, for his decisions, for the way that he raises his family and for the direction that his family goes in. All of those things are important when we define a man, and understanding that a man is more than the sum of his parts. He's more than what is part of his anatomy, but he is a person who takes responsibility. I think that is an excellent, excellent definition for a man.
Amen, amen. And again, you know, that's just something, cause I think, again, you're right. We have to put a definition on it. Again, I just wanted to share that with the audience tonight. As I mentioned earlier, I want to give a shout out directly to Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship for their marriage retreat this past weekend. We went down to Virginia, Dulles, Virginia, and it was a wonderful time. The theme was Making Our Relationship Extraordinary, identifying the more of our relationships, and it was very enlightening and encouraging, and it was an awesome time in fellowship and meeting other couples and hearing the folk as they took on the challenge of trying to get more out of their marriage, no matter where their status was, no matter what was going on. It's about, you know, encouraging one another to go for the more of our relationship. So we talked about that, and it was a wonderful time, and I pray for all the couples, you know, that were there. They were blessed. They go back, and we planted some seeds and encourage folk. And it's one of the things that we need as married couples sometimes, no matter how long you've been married, because it's a challenge. Not just, just trying to be, you know, deal with what the culture saying, but in our homes, that coming together, becoming one flesh is a process, and we have to be on target and on top of it all the time to try and improve it and not get caught in the rut, getting caught into mundane and pick up bad habits in our marriage that can fester and become those what the scripture calls the little foxes trying to destroy that vine. So sometimes we have to go in and check our oil, you know, as I always say, you have to check ourselves. We have to look in the mirror and determine what we're gonna do to make our marriages better, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what the challenges are. But that our relationship, that our relationship becoming one flesh, is a top priority. Amen. So tonight, brother, we're going to talk about the characteristics of a spiritual man. We're going to touch on a couple, and I pray that, you know, the men will be encouraged to hear about it. Again, this is coming out of the book by Charles Stanley, The Man of God, and one of the characteristics we're going to start that's most important. That, again, as Christian men, it starts with our faith. It starts with us accepting Jesus Christ and who he is and who the Word of God says he is and becoming a Christian man. To set that, because that's the foundation. All of you, that's the launching point. That's the diving board, the launching pad, whatever you want to call it. It comes to our faith in Christ. That's the beginning. So that we can start to think differently, our minds can be renewed. We see the world differently. We see our wives differently. We see our children differently. We see it through the eyes of God, through the Holy Spirit that's within us. Pastor Walker, what do you think, sir, that the importance of salvation and coming to that spiritual rebirth?
I think it's very important. If you were to buy a television and that television were to break, definitely you could take it to several different places to get it fixed. And somebody would be able to fix it well enough for it to work, but would it work as well as it was when it was created? In order for you to get that television back to its original state, you would have to take it back to the manufacturer. For us, in order for us to get back to the original state that God intended for us, we have to go back to our manufacturer, who is our creator God. Now, because of sin, there was separation in the world. There was separation from God, and we could not go to God ourselves. But because Jesus died on the cross for us and became our sin, and then died and rose again and now sits at the right hand of the Father and making intercession for us, we have to now understand that when we accept that and we make that confession with our mouth and we believe it in our hearts, we are now going back to the manufacturer to get help with correcting the problems that are in our life or the issues that arise from our lives. The Bible says out of the heart flows the issues of life. So we have to now take that heart back to God to get those issues created. So it is important for a man originally to be able to have that foundation of accepting Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and accepting the fact that he is the one who created us, and that the only way that a man can truly change is to go back to the manufacturer and have him to help us to correct those areas in our life that need to be adjusted, whether it be through his spirit or through his word. We have to be able to do that. Now, what happens is that sometimes when you have this broken television, you may have what's called proprietary software in there that only the manufacturer can deal with. And because of it, somebody else could look at it, yes, they could try and figure it out, but it would be easier for the manufacturer to figure it out because he's already created it. Likewise, with men, we could talk all day about spiritual things, but if you have not created that relationship with the Father, then all the things that we talk about spiritually won't make sense. So it's in essence that it's important that we have that foundation of our salvation, because for there, it's the jumping point, it's the leaping pad, it's the foundation for everything else that must happen in our life in order for us to become the man that God wants us to become the man that God would have us to be. What do you think, sir?
Amen. I agree. And, you know, it's I think that's very important because, again, we have to start somewhere. We all started somewhere. We all have our roots. We all have our foundation. We have our starting points. You know, even when we were young boys growing up, there's different stages and seasons of our life. They started somewhere, you know. So as for us to be to be a spiritual man, to be a well-grounded man, a man with who is a root, who could be the steadfast, could be the watchman on the wall, who can be anchored, we have to be anchored to something. We can't be, you know, just be tossed about by every wind that blows. We have to be rooted and grounded. And I think that our salvation, coming to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, the basic gospel, the basic simple gospel of Jesus Christ, that we must believe that Jesus went to the cross, he died for our sins, that his sacrifice was sufficient to reconcile us back to God the Father. And then as a husband, as a head of the home, when Christ comes into our heart, we are fully equipped to be that spiritual leader and to be that man in our homes. And, you know, even for, I want to, you know, for my single brothers who are listening, your singleness is a preparation because, you know, you could be spiritual father, you could be a spiritual brother to someone, but you have to be able, if you can speak into others' lives. So when we say that as leaders, we all call to be leaders in different capacities and different times and our circle of influence. For our saved and unsaved people in our lives, we can be that influence. So we have to be rooted and grounded and understand the simple message and what gospel is, and that we are reconciled back to the Father, so that we may be able to stand up and lead, because God has called men to lead in the home, in the church, and in the community through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, and again, so as being that spiritual man, God will allow us to lead, because it's one thing that we have to understand in our families. Our children are looking for fathers. They need fathers. They seek fathers. They seek that authority. If we look around the culture today, a lot of things that's going on in this culture is because of fatherlessness. That there's fathers, even they're not in the picture, they did not speak it into their children's lives, and without that authority, because that initial authority God has designed to come from the home and from the father. Because that's where people learn authority, they learn their place in the hierarchy, and when you don't have that, then we see the chaos that comes about. We have young people, and I'm not even going to say young people, I'm going to say we have people out there who want to rebel against any kind of authority because they never got it as a foundation in their home. So the fathers have not stepped up, been in their place, and that's, again, this is where it all starts. If we look around in the culture today and what's going on, that's that fatherlessness. So that's why I say as a leader, that God has called us to be leader. And for wives, every wife, if you ask any wife, saved or unsaved, she wants a husband. She wants a man in her life to be able to someone she can respect and trust and lead the family, lead her. And for a Christian man, you're called to love your wife and lead your wife. And just as Christ has loved the church and sacrificed himself, that's what we're called to do as Christian men. So we have to be able to, and the only way we can do that effectively and to the glory of God is through his word and being that man. What do you think, sir? How important is that to be the leader in the home?
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Deke, but let me be clear on this, that every man is created to be a leader. Every man was created to be the head and not the tail. Every man was created to have dominion, and every man was created just a little lower than the angels and crowned with power and authority. Every man has the ability to lead. Now, whether you have a family or don't have a family, whether you live by yourself or you live with someone else, at some point you're going to become the leader of your household. If you get out on your own and you get your first apartment or first house or whatever you wanted to do, you still are the leader and the head of that household. You set the tone for what happens in your house and what does not happen in your house. You set the tone for how your household is to be run. Now, it's only you setting the tone for you, but you're still setting the tone, so you are still a leader in your household. You're still a leader. Now, as we grow up, we are taught that we are leaders. We try to be the best. We try to learn the rules so we can win the game, so we can be the best. And we all want to be the best so that we can be the leader. We can be the head. Nobody wants to come in second place. Nobody wants to come in third place. We want to be the leader. When you're in school, you always wanted to be at the front of the line. Everybody wants to be the leader. So as I say, we are all leaders. It's in all of us inherently and creatively. That's who God created us to be. So all of us have to stand up and become that leader. All of us have to stand up and become that person that is the one that sets the tone for our household. You're not going to let anybody come into your house, whether you have a family or not, and dictate terms in your own house, because this is the place where you live, where you pay the rent, where you pay the bills, and you are the one that has the ability to set the tone. So whether you have a family or not, whether you have kids or not, whether you have a wife or not, you are still the leader and the prince over your household. You still intercede for the ones in your household. You still pray to cover your household. You still pray for protection over your household. Whether it's a matter of being a family leader or of being a single leader, you're still a leader. And I want to make that clear, because many men think that because I don't have a wife, because I don't have children, because I'm single and I just got me, myself, and I, that I'm not a leader. No, that's not true. You were created to be a leader. You were created to have dominion and authority, and you still are the one that sets the tone for your family, for your household. So you are still the priest of your household, whether there's anybody in it or not. You are still the one that is interceding for whatever goes on in your house. So all of us are leaders, every last one of us, every man, everyone. For that man that is out there that doesn't think he has leadership ability, you, sir, are a leader. For that one that thinks that he doesn't have the authority or or the strength to lead. No, sir, you are the leader. For that man that thinks that he's messed up too much and doesn't have the ability to lead, no, sir, God created you to be a leader. And I want to make that point clear to every man that's listening. You are a leader, and it's important for us to now stand up and be that lead. The statistics are clear. When there's no man in the home, things suffer. When you look at the number of people who are incarcerated that came from fatherless homes, when you look at the number of suicides that happened on people that had no man in their house, when you look at how children perform in school when there is a man there and when there's not a man there, regardless of social status or the amount of money in the household, it is important to understand that a man sets the tone and a man is a leader whether he has family or not. What do you think, sir?
Amen. You know, so you're correct, because that's something we have to be instilled in us. And for those young men that are in the church today, and for young men, that has to be instilled in them early. And that's where fathering can come in and instill them. Because someday, it's funny, you know, it's our little boys, our two-year-olds. We see them as cute. They're two, they're five, elementary school. But we have to see them and put them in a place that someday they're going to be husbands. That someday they're going to be fathers. Someday they're going to be leaders in the community. They're going to grow. There's choices going to have to be made. Even, again, like you were saying, even if they're single, there's choices every day. They need to know that they are to be leaders, not followers. They need to be able to be. And when we say that, you know, I was in a men's group one time, and the brother was saying, you know, we all tell our children to be leaders and not followers, but everybody can't lead and somebody to follow. But that's true. But part of that is we have to have integrity, that we are committed, that we have a commitment in our lives. And that, again, that's what fathers bring to that structure, that, you know, you have to be a man that's under accountability, under authority. And that's to respect, to be a leader, you have to respect leadership, and you have to know what it means to be under authority. Because you need people of integrity, because it's fine that, you know, somebody's going to lead. And any group you put together, you put a group of men together, someone is going to rise up to be that leader. But now, what kind of person am I going to be that I'm going to respect his leadership and be a man of integrity about what I'm doing? And that's part of it, too, because it's a character issue. And that's one of the things we're talking about here, the characteristics of leadership, because if we don't know how to follow, we can never lead given opportunity. And we have to understand, you know, being a leader doesn't necessarily mean title. It's a character issue. It's how you carry yourself. Are you faithful? Are you reliable? Are you trustworthy? Because if you don't have all those things within you, and if you never were given those things, then it's not going to show when your opportunity comes. Because leadership comes, you know, I remember back in the day when I was in the military, you know, every man was trained to do a certain task and a certain job. Because if the man in front of you fell, you was able to step in and fill that spot, so there was no lack in the overall vision. And that's what we need, and that's what we definitely need in the kingdom of God, that men will step up into that spot. But to do that, we have to be faithful in what we're doing, be faithful to the word, be faithful to our study, faithful to prepare ourselves. So when God gives us the opportunity to say, to do, or to just hold our spot on the wall, we're capable of doing that. If we're just not sitting in the pews week after week and holding up a chair, and no one can ever come to you to ask you to do nothing because you're not preparing yourself. You don't see yourself as a leader in the body of Christ. And that's one of the things, especially in the body of Christ, that we have to see ourselves as a man, as a husband and father, that God's going to use us in a particular circumstance, and the kingdom is going to need us, and we have to prepare ourselves. We have to prepare ourselves in a walk, and we have to prepare our sons for the same thing, because again, as men, we have that influence over folk. The unsaved man just has just as much influence as a saved man, as a man that doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in the Bible, but he still has an influence. That's why we have today, again, if we look at the culture, this is where we have the gathering of men. We call them gangs, we call them fraternities, we call them whatever, social clubs, whatever it is, there's someone there who has influence over a circle. But us as men of God, we must be able to have that influence too, to bring people, to pull people away from some of those negative things they're going to be called into. Because we all want to be part of something, we all want to belong, and we all want to be loved, respected, and treat it. And sometimes the church, we have to be able to do that, well, especially when we're reaching out to the unsaved, those who have not heard the pure gospel and do not understand it. So we have to be men who can speak into the lives of people and show them and lead them. And we all have our circle of influence. Sometimes we have to be able to, and, you know, I tell people all the time, you have a circle of influence because there's people watching you. And you have to be, you know, and that's why we must mature ourselves and grow ourselves and have the characteristics of godly men. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fall. We're here with Pastor Larry Watkins, and we're discussing some of the characteristics of a spiritual man. And we just got talking about being a leader no matter where we are. That being a leader is more than just a title, because we know sometimes in church we get caught up with titles. But as we walk, as Christian men, that right there, as first of all, in our manness, we're leading someone. Now, where are we leading them to? That's what we have to come to understand in our mind. You know, that we are all called to lead, and there's folk that are looking to us for leadership. Now, what kind of leadership are we portraying? So that's where we have to definitely check ourselves. But one of the first things we do have to understand that you must come to faith in Jesus Christ, because we need that wisdom and guidance and knowledge. And the only way we can get that is from the fear of the Lord. And we have the scripture here. I was just looking it over here. It says Proverbs 9 and 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. And that's what we need, because what's going on in the world today, what's going on in the lives of people, what's going on in our homes and our marriages and our father-daughter, father-son relationships, we need that wisdom of God and the knowledge and understand who He is. Because, again, as fathers, we're the first evangelists. We're the first pastor. We're the first preacher for our children. They have to see God in us. They have to be able to see God in us for us to be effective as husbands and fathers. Amen. And Pastor Watkins, we're gonna move on to another subject here. One of the other things necessary for a spiritual man is part of this. It's being able to rebuild, to take time out, to structure himself, to get himself together, to pause, to rebuild. And when we talk about as a spiritual man, we talk about that time of devotion, that time of prayer, that time when we go to seek God for the answers, we go to seek God for a vision, for a plan, for our family, for our lives. How important is that, brother, that time to get over to have that private devotional time?
It's very important. When we look at in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, in I believe it's around chapter 6, when you look at that story, it talks about Isaiah after his cousin, King Uzziah, died, and he said, I was in the Lord's house, and he said the Lord visited him, and we all read the story, and we know the story of the angels flying back and forth. But one of the things it says in there, it says, he says, woe is me, I am undone. And that word undone means that he is unraveled. It means that in the presence of God, he became unraveled. He began to see himself for who he was. And it is only through that devotion, it is only through that time that we come to God and have that time where we spend to God, that we can see ourselves for who we are, for the issues that we have, for the things that we have going on, for the areas in our life that need to be adjusted, for those things where we need to improve, for those areas where we need God to mold us and remake us. It is through devotional time, that time we spend with God, whether it be in prayer or reading or listening. And let me reiterate that listening is a part of devotion. It's not just about you talking and having a whole bunch of stuff to say. It's not just about, you know, your agenda, but it's about listening to what God has to say to you in your quiet times. These areas of devotion are the things that help to rebuild a man, to help to build him up, to help to fortify him. And as you do this, you will see that not only does it help you to rebuild yourself, but it also helps you now to have insight into the things that are going on in your life, into the insight into what's happening in your job, insight into what's happening in your finances, insight into what's happening with your children and with your spouse. And these insights allow us now to be able to deal with things that come up in our lives, to be able to now start praying for our families, to start praying for our children, for them to see us reading and studying so they can see how a godly man lives. As you said before, we are leaders by example. The Bible says that we are living epistles known and read of men, living letters that are known and read of men. So it is up to us that we as leaders are living the life that should be exemplified of that as a Christian man. That's studying our Bible, that's praying, that's having that quiet time. Our family should know when we have quiet time, when we're studying, when we are in the midst of our prayer time. And then we should be able to also be able to pray for them and have prayers with our children as well. I know growing up as a Christian father, I didn't always do that. I didn't always have that time of praying with my children. But there were times when I had to make sure that I was praying for them and laying hands on them. The Bible says that Job would stop and give sacrifices every day just for what his children might do, not for anything that they did, but he would stop and intercede for them just for what they might do for that day. So he would spend his time in the morning offering sacrifices for the things that his children might do. This is how we cover our children, praying for them in the morning before they leave out. And these are the things that help us as leaders. I say this all the time, that we must be trailblazers in order for our families to be pathfinders. So we have to be the one that blazes the trail, that shows them the way, shows them how to pray, shows them how to study, shows them how to have that quiet time. And then they need to be able to see that in us and of us. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You know, you're absolutely correct. And it's important that we take time. You know, I look back and I say, you know, there's a lot of things that as I was coming up in the church, because I came into the church, my kids were already in their teens, and I was already, you know, we've been married a couple of years, 15 years or so. But I look back on that devotional time, that the family devotional time, you know, and I look back on, and you know, the struggles to get it done, because I understand, let me tell the brothers right now, this is not no super spiritual thing. I got to go to work. You have other things that are pulling on your life, pulling, you know, going to work. You have other obligations, but we have to on purpose structure to be able to do some family devotional time, doing time with our wife, doing times with our kids, you know, setting the pace. Have our kids see us reading the word, have us see us praying with them, you know, and because they're, again, as husbands and fathers, we're looking, we're watching us. We can set the temperature in our home. I mean, you don't have to be a great theologian. You didn't have to go to Bible college or nothing. You just have to be able to pick up a word and do a devotional and pray and show you, see, let your children see you pray, you know, teach your children how to pray. You know, it's just like we say all the time, you know, we have folks who send their kids to church, or they send them to a youth group, or they send them, or they tell them read their Bible. But it's as a husband and father, we should spend time, make time. I mean, I I'm not going to say it's easy, because it depends who we are. You know, some brothers travel on their jobs. We have truck drivers. We have brothers who drive cabs. We have brothers who do 12 on, 12 off. I understand all that. We have been this in the military. But however, we have to be able to strategically and with wisdom of God be able to choose those opportunities that our family know that we are godly men and that we are praying for them. Like Pastor Larry was saying about Job, you know, he got up and he offered sacrifices for his kids. He's not that he knew that they was doing or they was out there. He just did it to cover them. And that's what we have to understand. This is a spiritual covering that we must be able to give. When we have time, we can be with them is one thing, but are we in constantly prayer about them? You know, are we reaching out? We have technology now. We can text our kids out, because I fear to say that I don't think any of our kids do not have a phone, so, or a tablet or a Facebook page. So we can reach out to them. The technology now, even if we have to travel, we're working, we can reach out, we can pray with them, send them scriptures, you know, encourage them. Again, we have to be those men on purpose, that we take that time out, and also that our wives and our children know that we're praying for them. Because it's funny, you're telling your children that you're praying for them, somehow that can be an encouragement for them, what they're going through. And teaching our kids to pray, because the challenges they have to do at, well, no matter what age they are, or whatever thing. You'd be surprised how young children, they internalize what's going on. And sometimes they don't know how to handle it. And again, our children have challenges. Middle school, high school, you never know what's going on. Sometimes we don't realize the challenges that goes on in these schools during the day. They could be just as stressful as our job sometimes. Amen? Because remember, they're dealing with smaller versions of the people you work with. Just think about it that way. Amen? What do you think, Pastor?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, with the challenges that we have, with the challenges that we have out, man, we have to make sure that our kids, you know, when I was here during the summer and I was taking care of my grandkids, we made sure that we prayed every morning. My daughter would make sure that she got the kids together before they walked out the door to go to school, and we prayed for them, we covered them, and they still do that to this day. And what ends up happening is that now that they see us doing that, they begin to take the lead themselves and start praying themselves. So it's a thing that births something in them. And once we begin to birth that, it's now up to us to nurture that. What do you think, sir?
Amen. And that's good, because that's just taking action. That's activating our faith and passionate, because, again, this Christian walk is generational. You know, there's reaching folk, but then we have to be able to spread the gospel generational. We have a responsibility as husbands and fathers and grandfathers that we have to. It has to be generational. So we have to definitely be on board with that and showing them and being those examples. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Pastor Larry Watkins. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m. and every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. And tonight we're talking about the characteristics of a spiritual man. And we talked about him being a leader, taking time to pause and rebuild, being a leader in his home, that every man is a leader. God has called every man to lead in one capacity or another. And give just the insight that he's praying for those around him. We were talking about husbands and fathers, but now I want to also encourage the brothers out there. You know, brothers that you're in connection with. I call it the circle of influence. Those brothers you go to church with, the men that you work with, the families that you know of. Are we praying for them? Are we giving ourselves our time to pray and call our God on their behalf? Now, maybe we don't necessarily know the details of what's going on, but you know, we have more things in common than are different. The wise man told me that one time. So anything you're going through, just imagine one of your brothers in church is going through it. And are you praying? Because you may be able, it may not be a great burden to you. It's something that you have under control. But then that next brother that you sit with every week, that same thing could happen in his life, and it could be something the enemy is using to break him down. So you need to pray his strength through the circumstances. Because, again, we have a lot of things in common, being a husband, a father, you know, being at work, on job, the same stressful environments we may have. Some other brothers are going through that, and that can push them over the edge in a lot of different ways, in anger and in whatever. And acting out on the job, they get sick and tired, and they just explode on their boss, and then that sends a ripple. I know Pastor Larry, you know what I'm talking about, we talk about that 30 seconds of stupidity. We want to pray them brothers down off of that 30 seconds of stupidity. Amen?
Amen. I agree with you, man. You have to have that ability to intercede and say, hey man, don't do that one. You know, you're about to make that mistake. And sometimes, you know, it's funny, man, that sometimes you have to be the example of what not to do in a situation so that somebody else can see it and say, you know what, I don't have to keep making the same decisions all the time. Sometimes you have to begin to be that example, to step forward and be the one that listens and to be the one that discerns and to be the one that hears, so that when somebody sees you making the right decisions, they can say, hey, you know what, I don't have to keep making this mistake. I don't have to keep doing things the same way. I don't have to keep going in this direction. There is another choice. There is another way. There is another option for me to take. And as leaders, we have to be able to present that option. You know, we have to be able not just to be able to say it, but to show it in our lives and to show it in the way that we live, in the way that we move, in the way that we operate. To be able to be that one on the job that even though they may not agree with everything you believe in, But when the rubber hits the road, they'll be the ones to come to you and say, man, can you pray for me? I'm going through something. Or when the situation gets to the point where they're ready to make a change, they'll come to you and ask you, what is it about you that is so different? You know, it's when we begin to make that standard. It's when we begin to put the things that we have in our life in action and be able to live that life that shows that we are more than just flesh and blood, but that we have something that we live for and a standard that we have. This is when we put things in action. This is when we begin to believe, and not only believe, but we begin to put that belief in action, and others can see our lives. The Bible says that men can see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. And this is the goal that we should be striving for, not just as fathers, but also just as men in general, that people can see our lives, they can see the God in us, and then realize that there's something special about us because they see the God in us. What do you think, sir?
Yes, sir. I thank you for that, because that's something that we have to remember in our walk. That, again, I take it back to the job. The same stresses we're going through, there's another man in there, in your workplace, or not, I say another man, but your coworkers. That if that manager, that supervisor is stressing you, he's stressing others. And if folk are watching you, how you respond to the same kind of stress. Because, again, if he's treating you that way, he's treating other folk that way. But, you know, as you know, I've been in workplaces, you know, when the boss ain't around, people say all kinds of things. But we have to be able to, in the midst of that, we don't feed into that, and we try and bring some order to the chaos, as I would say. You know, because, you know, we can't go along with the pack where we're murmuring and complaining behind the man's back. And that's also opportunity for us to show our character, that we're different, that we see it, you know, and how we participate in that murmuring and complaining, or do we try and head cut it off and try and bring some positive, bring the light of Christ into those conversations. Amen. So I challenge the brothers there. That's also opportunity. Because sometimes when I've done it myself, you start hearing people murmuring, complaining about the job and the boss, you tend to walk away. Then we need the wisdom of God to be able to engage that conversation and help show our godly character. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy because the man is stressing you out too. But, you know, it's that old thing from back in the day. What would Jesus do? How will we try to diffuse that situation to show the righteousness of God and the patience and the integrity about what we're doing? But every man, we need to pray about that, on how we can, for the next time that circumstance happens to us, how are we going to handle that? Amen? And then now for my church brothers, the same thing in the church. When the pastor or leadership do something, and we got that group inside the ministry who's the murmurers and complainers, okay? I don't want to just leave it into the secular job. I want to bring it back to the church too. Because again, as men of God, we have to be able to, you know, we have to be able to cut some stuff off, you know, so it doesn't take root in the ministry. And that goes again back to being taking responsibility as men of God and trying. Because, you know, people are going to have opinions about things, but then when we're in the midst of it, you know, there's opportunity there. Because, again, we have to be able to speak life and speak love, and we can help turn some other people around. Because, again, people in their emotions, they don't understand, and we should be able to bring, again, some peace and bring some order to the chaos. That's what I'm going to call it for right now, the order into the chaos. Amen? So it's at work and at church, and we have to definitely be prayed up in the wisdom of God to be able to do that and be led by the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, we all are working this thing out and trying to, and we doing it the best we can. And folk at different levels and people, you know, people are people. I'll say that. So we have to be able to be prayed up, and hopefully we can bring light into these dark situations. Amen. Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. If you're online, if you called in at 646-668-2636 and you want to share a thought, an opinion, you can just hit one on your keypad and we can bring you into the conversation. And also, we invite you again. I want to give a short plug here for our upcoming Man Up event. It's going to be April the 9th, 2016. And we encourage you to save that date. Again, in the next 2 weeks or so, we're going to be locked in our location. You can go on the Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can follow us there, ask to join the group. You can see what's going on. You have the updates there. And, again, you can listen to this show every Monday and Thursday. Mondays at 8 p.m. and Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. And we'll have the updates then and the location. It'll be broadcast there. And we just encourage you to plan it accordingly. Take a day off. Take a vacation day. You know, let your wife know you come in. Go get your son. Bring your brother with you. Bring your son with you. Oh, yes, please. I mean, I'm glad I said that. Because we're opening this up to, we're going to the age of 16 and above. And also, we're looking to have a specific session that we're going to facilitate for single men. That's one of the things that God has brought to our attention and brought to our hearts to do a separate session just for the single brothers who are single in the church, who are, you know, young men that are single, old men that are single, and single from being a widow, from divorce, never been married, and give them some encouragement and talk to them about what it means to be single. Because, you know, it can be very stressful. You know, I talked to a brother recently. He's a newlywed, but he said when he was single, it was all kinds of stuff going on that was tempting him just inside the church. So I don't want to call out no name, but, you know, it's funny. Inside the church, being a single man, those same temptations you think wouldn't be there will be there. They just come differently. They come, but let me say this. They will come wrapped in a different package than you would see in the world. But as a man of God, we have to be in state. So we're going to do a session speaking specifically to single brothers and encourage them. And again, for our young men, high school, college age, you know, once they're out their parents' house, the enemy said, okay, you was okay when you was a kid. It was cute. And you was doing the Easter pageant and the Christmas pageant, and you was doing youth ministry. But now you out here, and now I'm going to send some stuff to you, and I'm going to see what you're going to stand. I'm going to see what you really believe. So the enemy, you know, we have to prepare our young men for that. And even while they, even in their parents' house, they go to, if you ever been to a high school lately, there's a lot of stuff going on that our Christian young brothers have to deal with. And they're being pulled to and fro. So as men of wisdom and men of a certain age, we have to be able to speak to them, to encourage them and help them and make sure, you know, you always have a safe haven to go to and you can reach out to the men in the church. And if we have to, we roll up in your school. I'm just saying. I'm willing, and I know I can get four other brothers that go with me. But anyway, that's what we're going to be talking about. So that's going to be April the 9th, 2016. Again, man up, stand as a watchman on the wall as a coalition of men's ministry. We'll be coming together soon. Well, Pastor Watkins, I'm going to touch on one more thing here because we're running. We've been having a good conversation. We're getting there, but I want to talk to, there's one more thing, one characteristic of a spiritual man, that he's alert to the opportunities to serve. And that, you know, that's something that we talk a lot in men's groups, we talk a lot among ourselves, and it's things that we just, there's two things. I think there's two pieces to this, that men look for opportunities to serve their families in ministry. And then for, especially in ministry, for our leaders to be able to get up, to let men know what they need from them. And I'm not, and I'm going to be careful here because I'm not really talking all the time about building the wall, the dry painting the thing, you know, building another wall, or building, you know, whatever. But the time to serve, go do missions, reaching people. And we have to be, man, ready to go because, you know, if you go to a lot of outreaches and ministries and you see women doing it, but you don't see no Christian men there. And I think that's also an opportunity that we have to, on purpose, engage men into doing the service for God, that he might be glorified, that we could be seen serving in any capacity. What do you think about that, sir?
You know, it was hard for me growing up to see someone who was a servant, a servant leader. You know, I grew up with my father and seeing my grandfather that, you know, they would come in, they would sit down at the table, and my mother or my grandmother would bring in the dinner, and they would do their thing, and then they would sit in their big chair and control the television and everything else, and we were the ones that had to make sure that stuff was done in the house. My dad went out and worked and did what he had to do. When he came home, he got, you know, he got the big chair, the big piece of chicken, and he got the television remote. And it was hard for me at that point to see what it meant to be a servant leader. You know, it wasn't until I got around a godly man who was my pastor at that time, and for him to show me through his actions, not through his words, through his actions, that what a servant leader was. And that meant that he didn't sit around, even though he was the pastor, he didn't sit around waiting for people to serve him. If it was something that needed to be done, he was the first one jumping in to make sure it was done. And I'm like, wow, here he is the pastor, and this is not the stereotypical pastor that I'm used to seeing, even though I grew up in the church. Here's a man that when the grass needs to be cut, he's not the one saying, bro, go cut the grass. He's the one starting the lawnmower, getting things ready. And if the men waited around too long, pastor did it already, and it was done, you know. He was the one that set, again, setting the tone. He was the one that set the tone so that when, whether it was helping the ladies to their car or whether it was doing things around the church or anything like that, he was the one that set the tone. And it instilled within me that servant leadership, that servant leader that Dr. Stanley is talking about here, that we are the ones that are, should be showing how things are to be done. We are the ones that should be the spiritual man that should be alert to the opportunities for service, to do things, to make sure that we are the ones that are not sitting back waiting for somebody to serve us, but we are the ones that are actually stepping up and doing the serving. The Bible says, he who is to be first among you, let him serve. So we have to be the ones that are serving, not the ones that are waiting to be served. That means that you don't always get the big piece of chicken, bro. You don't always get to sit down and eat your dinner and make sure. Sometimes you got to let everybody else eat, and you deal with whatever else that you need to do. I know you're the man of the house, and you want to come over and get your dinner, but sometimes you got to make sure that everything is taken care of before you sit down and eat. It's important for us as men to be able to see that exemplified and to show that to our children so they understand what it means to be a servant leader. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. I agree. You know, that is something we definitely have to model to be more effective in modeling in the church. Again, we have a generation of young people who don't have male role models in their homes, and they come to the church, and they need to see the men involved and engaged in the things of ministry. You know, like I said, on outreach for, you know, missions or something, because that, again, we have a circle of influence. We have people who are watching, and if, again, you know, we have a generation that if they don't see men in the church participating in ministry, involved in ministry, they're going to think, there's going to be young men who think it's not for them. Because right now, I'll put this out there. If you at your church, if you took all the men who were not musicians, what would young people see the men in your church doing? Not counting the musicians, you know, because musicians is easy. That's up there. They're doing worship service and all that. But all the other men, what are the young people seeing the other men doing within the ministry? And that's what we have to do. And then again, in our own homes, do our children see us involved in ministry? Involved in, there's so many things that churches do. I just want to know, where are the men? Are you there? I mean, all the way from children's church, youth church, the teens, whatever. Are there men? How many men? You know, we did this at the last Man Up event. We asked the brothers, how many of you men, how many of you brothers right sitting right here teach the youth or teach the kids? You know, are you involved in the youth ministry? Are you teaching Sunday school? Are you doing your youth group? Are you involved with the youth group? Do the young men in the church know you, know your name, besides brother so-and-so? Do you engage in get in fellowship and know what's going on with them? Because, again, if we go back to the Word of God, I believe the Word of God, I'm going to paraphrase, but it says, true religion is caring for the widows and orphans. And how many of our churches we know we have single mothers who have daughters and sons, and we're supposed to minister to them. And are we doing that? Are we being the men of God that we are called to be and setting that example? Amen? You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fowler here with Pastor Larry Watkins. Again, we invite you to join us every Monday at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Also, you can listen to the rebroadcast of this show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Fowler. Pastor Watkins, any closing statements, sir?
That we need to be ready to step up and be the men that God has called us to be. The world is looking for us to be that now. We have to step up and be the salt and light that we need to be as men, to be the direction and the leadership to show this world the way things need to be done and the way things are done. It's as important as men. We are all leaders. We need to step up and be that leader. Thank you, Deke.
Amen, sir. Well, say thank you. God bless you. We'll see you again on Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Watkins. Be blessed.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.